Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Total Screamers. I'm Sybil. I'm joined by Jake.
Hey, hello, guys.
Jake.
Welcome back.
And I'm also joined by Jed, back from all things football. Jed, be honest, how many shirts have you bought since we last had you on?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be back. Secondly, I think I've bought about four or five, actually. all good deals, though. Too good to turn down, so...
Can't say no, can you?
For those who don't know, we had Jed on about a month ago, so he's on a shot.
Yeah,
the weekend,
this shot. Black Friday was in between, wasn't it? So I mean,
he's been off the rails. Right, so we ran a bit of a debate on Twitter, and the debate was who would win in a boxing match, Sean Dyche or Nigel Pearson? And we thought it would be, you know, quite split down the middle, but Sean Dyche's camp was just full of people just. And Jed's one of them. Jed's one of the one who was like, "Yeah, it's not even a contest."
Yeah, I don't see the argument. I think Sean Dyche would just sort of let rip, and I don't think Nigel have a chance. I can't see it. I do think though that putting him in a boxing ring would be a waste, because that fight needs to happen in a pub car park rather than a boxing match.
Mate, I do you know what? Like, the thing with Nige is, though, he fought off a pack of wild dogs. Dyche is a dog, you know, he's a dirty dog, and Pearson, he'd be all over him. He'd use that reach, he'd be jabbing away, and I think the reach would be too much for Dyche. I don't think he'd get anyone near him.
No, I don't know. I think one decent left hook from Dyche, and Nige could take it. Yeah, but this is what I mean about putting him in a pub. I think Sean Dyche would just drop the nut. And there it is, it's over.
Need to fill him full.
I think that's
more
fill
him full of beer.
Their game. Absolutely.
Nige is definitely an ale man.
I said in the previous episode, that Sean Dyche would bite someone's nose off. Just say his teeth is just, fucking dive, and then just bite your nose right off your face.
You could tell he'd enjoy it as well.
Oh, yeah.
He'd sort of like sadistically spit it out afterwards and like sort of lick his lips, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he would enjoy it as well. It'd be the highlight this week before he went and bit someone else's nose off. Before we actually move on, and we are going to talk about football at some point. We'll get there.
No stay with us. No
stay with us, Trips. What I wanted to ask, I was thinking about this in the car on the way home today. What would be the entrance music for Sean Dyche or Nigel Pearson? I thought about Sean's, and I thought it'd be like, I thought it'd be something British, something classic, and then I thought, no, it'd be mental, wouldn't it? And I thought, Rock You Like a Hurricane by the Scorpions would be...
that's a great shout. He'd come in a big robe. Yeah.
Very
big
good shout.
Velvet robe.
Yeah.
Big hat. He'd be like Apollo Creed in Rocky III.
Very good shout. Very good shout. Either that or something like Seven Nation Army, and he's propagating the crowd.
Working the crowd. He'd get that darts following over, wouldn't he? Or Daishi.
Yeah. It'd be more like a darts walkout than a boxing walkout.
Nige, I reckon, big Nige. I reckon he'd go something classic, from classic rock or something like that. Probably, you know, I think he'd be straight down the middle.
I think I could see him walking out to like Living on a Prayer or something like that. Maybe doing a bit of a dance on the way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he'd love that. Nige, if you're listening, tell us what you'd walk out to, mate.
He's definitely one of our 50 listeners.
He is, I'm telling you.
It's the 20 Premier League managers and then just randoms. that's the listeners of the Talk Schemers. Right, so let's talk football. Reluctantly, we'll go to talk football.
Oh, no. Gets in the way.
Right, so starting us off for match week 14, we have Crystal Palace, Liverpool at Palace's gaff. What do we think?
No Benteke.
Famously a difficult place for Liverpool to go.
Yeah, definitely. No Benteke, though, for Palace, who's starting to find a bit of form, isn't he? He's suspended and Sacco's not playing either, so two ex-Liverpool players aren't going to be in that game. But like you say, Jed, it's always been notoriously hard for Liverpool going to Palace, but hopefully I'd like to see us come out with 3 points. But it's going to definitely be a tough game.
I think Liverpool will win it, but I think on paper, obviously, they win it. On the day, I think Palace are quite a well-structured team. They set up quite well. They could make it difficult for them. I don't think it's going to be like an absolute whitewash. I think there'll be sort of one goal in it, especially at the minute because Liverpool have got obviously a weakened squad as well. You can see it being like a 2-1 or 1-0 sort of game. But I would go with Liverpool for that one, to be honest.
I reckon so. I do reckon Liverpool will probably be too much for Palace, and like I say, I think it might just be a goal in it. I don't know if it'll be one of those games where it's sort of domination by Liverpool, because Palace are really well drilled and they always are. I would say they're probably one of the harder teams in the league to beat, but they're definitely they know how to sit back against an attacking force. That's why they had such a good record last season against the top six. I think it's quite unfortunate Christian Benteke gets the best form he's had in 2 years and then gets sent off. It's such a Christian Benteke.
It's so Benteke, isn't it?
I reckon he just wanted a bit of time off at Christmas.
Roy Hodgson must be fuming like that. He's starting to get in some form. Roy sat there like, oh, bloody hell.
Very, very, very annoying.
Going back to our roots, going back to the top skill.
Get the accent challenges out. Accent challenges.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot to be said for that game. I do think, Liverpool haven't been as consistent this season, but I think the win over Tottenham will bring confidence, and they did kind of look like they will find ways to win. Last season, all they did was find ways to win, even at late in matches, just to keep that momentum going. And I think they probably should carry that on to Palace, and I do think Liverpool would edge it. But a game that I'm quite interested in, it's one I'll definitely be watching, is Southampton-Man City, because things just aren't going Pep's way at the minute, and Southampton just keep looking better and better. I think they were really unfortunate against Arsenal to get the 3 points.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Southampton look really strong at the minute as well. They could definitely cause Man City some problems, because obviously City are a good side. They haven't really sort of recaptured the same sort of form they've had in previous seasons this year. You can tell that they're missing the likes of like David Silva and like that company sort of figure at the back. You can tell that they're sort of lacking, I guess, like leaders. So I think that game, Southampton might fancy themselves for it. Because, like I say, the other night they were unlucky not to win. And at the minute, with Man City not being at their strongest, it's there for the taking for them. I think they're third in the league at the minute as well, aren't they?
Southampton, yeah.
Yeah, so look, they're going to be full of confidence. Get a corner whipped into Vestergaard and more than likely going in the back of the net. So
yeah, I thought like City against West Brom, they looked so bad, didn't they? They were like sluggish and they didn't just really look at the races a bit. Southampton have been brilliant all season. I think for me, this is essentially the game of the weekend. Yeah, like Southampton's attacking threat can definitely hurt City. They can definitely harm them in that way. But obviously, we know the quality of Man City. You know, you're never ever going to count them out in any game. So it's interesting though, especially you know if Aguero isn't fit, because there's concerns over his fitness as well. So that's a you know one blow for City, but a massive boost for Southampton as well.
I think I've seen a stat somewhere today that Aguero hadn't scored since January this year. It's crazy to think that because it doesn't really seem real, but it's really if you look at it. I mean,
that's crazy.
It's down to these injuries, and I think it might be for the sheer volume that Aguero's played over his career that he's actually really starting to feel it. And when Aguero comes back, that he will still have that pace to utilize. And I know a lot of his game is just it's about. I mean, Man City rather than putting Aguero in a race, they prefer to like cut back and get. He could score headers as well, and he's really good in the 6 yard box. Aguero, I think he could lose. He could lose a yard or two and still be a fairly effective striker.
Yeah.
How I think City will go on against Southampton all depends on whether City humble themselves a wee bit. And what I mean by that is they recognise how an effective force Southampton are at counter attacking. And how good their outlets are, especially in the midfield, and having Danny Ings and the physicality of Shea Adams with the intelligent runs out of Theo Walcott. If they commit too many bodies forward and they play their fullbacks or wing backs up at the corner flags, they're going to be humbled by Southampton, and Southampton will spank them.
Yeah, they definitely need to sort of avoid complacency in this game, because as you mentioned, it's probably going to be the game of the weekend, and it's got the potential to be the biggest upset of the weekend on paper, I guess, because if you look at it based on squads and things like that, you'd say Man City are probably favourites to win, but at the minute on form, it's just not the case. So I think you're right. They definitely need to treat Southampton with the respect they deserve at the minute, I guess, for the football they've been playing.
Definitely. I'm going to go out and call this result right away. Everton-Arsenal, I don't think this goes any other way apart from Everton having the 3 points. Everton at Goodison, they're picking up momentum. I'm so impressed with Godfrey and Mason Holgate and how they've adapted their game to wingbacks. Fullbacks. I wouldn't say they're really wingbacks. I mean, you're not seeing them up in the traditional sense. The more modern sense that we're seeing from the fullback/wingback role in the league. I think, depending on injuries for Everton, they should pretty much walk it because they are far more organised there. I think Ancelotti is a far superior manager to Arteta, and he's going to be prepared for this game tenfold over Mikel Arteta. If Mikel Arteta doesn't come up with a plan to deal with the quality within Everton, then he's going to be one unhappy chappy after the 90 minutes.
I agree with you, Simo. I can't see this result being any other way. Just on their form alone at the minute, Everton, on paper at the minute, on form, they're going to absolutely batter them, aren't they? Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin up front, and no Gabriel for Arsenal either. He's suspended, so they're in absolute trouble, aren't they? Like, Jed, what do you think about the Arteta situation and that sort of stick or twist, isn't it, really, with him?
It is, yeah. It's a difficult one for them at the minute, because you can sort of see arguments on both sides. If they get rid of him, get someone else in, you sort of get that new manager bounce, let somebody else maybe rejig the team a bit. But if you stick with him, you're sort of committing to building more of a project and giving the manager time, which it doesn't really tend to happen much these days. But I think Man United are in the same sort of boat at the minute as well, with that, just in a better position overall in the league. With Arsenal at the minute, they just don't look like even a shadow of the team that they've been in the past. It's probably the lowest point in recent years for them, and like you say, I can't look past Everton for this game. I think they'll struggle. Arsenal's defence is going to struggle to keep quiet Everton's attack, and at the minute going forward, they don't look very threatening either. I don't think Everton's defence will have any problems, and not unless obviously they make the problems themselves, and give the ball away, things like that. So I think at the minute, I wouldn't want to be an Arsenal fan watching that sort of football. With Arteta, though, I personally would stick with him, at least give him the transfer window, back him and see how he does. If he doesn't bring anyone in to inspire the team, then get rid. That would be my decision. But obviously, only time will tell. You never know. This could be the end if they don't get a result. So
They're dangerously close to that relegation zone, dangerously close. It only takes, things can happen really, really fast in the Premier League as well. One minute you think, oh, there's no chance that Arsenal could go down. We could be sat here in 3 weeks' time and they're 19th in the table. And that could actually happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a position you want to be in at this point of the season either at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, it's harder to get out of if you've been down there, you know, for a significant portion of time. So
what's funny is how Arsenal fans for years were clamouring to get rid of Wenger. Get rid of Wenger. He doesn't, you know, we're only going backwards under Wenger, consistently finishing the top four, winning, you know, the occasional trophy, and now we're in a fucking relegation battle. You know, be careful what you wish for. It's a funny old world football, you know, that I can imagine Wenger sort of being sat at home and probably going, fuck it, I told you I wasn't that bad.
You know. You can just see him sort of sat there with a glass of red wine watching Match of the Day and just having a little smile to himself.
Of course he is.
I mean, I think,
and you know he does that. Like, he definitely does that.
I do it as well. Fucking right,
definitely does that.
Yeah. I think the amount of sort of disrespect towards Wenger that Arsenal fans gave was a bit much for everything that he did for that club. He is undoubtedly an Arsenal legend, and the way that they sort of got on his back for years just because they weren't, you know, winning the league.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there wasn't really any perspective there. And now I think this is putting things into perspective for them. I don't want to say they deserve it. I don't think any fan not really deserve that. But obviously this is just showing the other side of it, the reality. As you say, be careful what you wish for,
definitely,
I guess.
Definitely.
Unai Emery not looking too bad. Not looking too bad now, is he?
I know they'd love a sixth place at the moment, wouldn't they? Fuck. Right.
I've got a question for the boys. How the fuck is Newcastle Fulham ended up on at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night? How has that happened? Someone needs to fucking sack you.
I just thought the same thing when I was looking. Then I looked at the fixture list and I was like, why? Why is it that game? You know,
it is a strange one, isn't it? Does anyone, like, I would think that the main one on a Saturday is the game before the half five kickoff. Yeah. Seems to me that one gets more attention anyway. I think by the 8 o'clock one, people are switched over to ITV or whatever's on there. Probably watching The Grinch or something this weekend and not bothering with that.
That's probably why they put it on at 8, to be fair. Because no one will be watching that.
It's just me. Just saddles like me that just watch all the football. Sat on a couch on a Saturday night, fucking
I'll be watching it as well, don't worry. I'll be watching that 0-0. It's got 0-0 written all over it.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like... one of the last times I watched Newcastle, watched 89 minutes of pure shite, 2 goals in the last the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game.
That's the thing about Newcastle is at the moment, they're not a great side. And every game that they play is sort of, you know, you can't see them scoring, but then you've got Callum Wilson up front and he will pop up with a goal, as he has done this season.
He's so good for them. So.
Without them,
they're
real trouble.
Great signing.
100% trouble if he gets injured for any length of time. Their season falls apart for me.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think they're going to rely on him, and they already have done so far this season. Like you said, if he gets injured, and he has had injury problems in the past as well.
I was going to say,
if he gets injured, then it's looking a bit ropey for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of the better Coventry City Academy products. I'm just going to slide in there.
Hey, it's not a bad one to have.
Couldn't resist, could you, Jed? Couldn't resist. Now that we've talked about... hear that, audience.
Ooh, cold Corona.
Oh, absolutely superb. Right, where are we off to
now? Brighton, and your favourite club.
Oh, Brighton, Sheffield United. Yeah, close but no cigar against Manchester United. I said this at the beginning of the season, maybe one of the early episodes of Total Schemers, I said, if you're relying on McGoldrick, a championship-level journeyman, for all your goals in the Premier League, you're not going to do too well.
Yeah.
They came close to it, but again, Man United, they were never going to lose that game. I mean, any time it looks like Man United are going to go off a cliff and Ollie's going to lose his job, they're just enough to keep him in the job.
You'd have to play pretty poorly to lose to Sheffield United at the minute as well. I mean, they're not a good side. They come up last year, played some good football and sort of, you know, the league didn't really know how to deal with them last year, I think. But this year they've been found out and there's nothing inspiring about their squad, really, is there? And if you look at it, You know, their team does seem like a championship team. Like I say about McGoldrick, he's not going to go in and bang more than, you know, five goals a season. And they signed Brewster from Liverpool. I think it would have been like smarter to have gone for someone more proven. I mean, I think he's going to be a good player, but it's, you know, record signing, and you're probably going to be pinning all your hopes on him.
Playing him either, that's the thing.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like a strange move. Yeah, he might fit their system. And obviously, they're very like, system-based side. But, I mean, I think you were saying the other day, lads, at what point do you like change the system? And they seem to be one of those teams that just, you know, they're very rigid in terms of that, and they won't
sort 4-4-2, isn't it? That's all it is. 4-4-2.
And, yeah, and if they don't adapt, then you know, they're going to go down. I think at this point, you'd be a brave man to back them to stay up, to be honest.
Jed, do you see them beating Derby's all-time Premier League points record or not? That's the key question at the minute, isn't it? Are they going to get any more points?
To be honest, at the minute, with the Premier League, you never know because it can go mental. And they might pop out like a 5-0 win, you know, against Arsenal, for example, at some point. So you never know. I wouldn't call it at this point, but maybe after January, if they're still only on 1 point, then
I called it anymore. I called it. I've been able to go back like 7 or 8 episodes, and I did say it, and you were like, you're calling it so well, and I said Sheffield United are going down. And it's not because I've got anything against Sheffield United. The thing I've got against them is complacency in terms of they're not doing a whole lot to turn it around. I don't feel like doing the same thing week in, week out. I mean, they've came close to the mark. They came close against West Brom. They came close against Manchester United. Okay, they've came close against other sides, and it's not worked out. They need to try something different. They need to humble themselves and do something a little bit different. Maybe try... I've not seen him play Brewster just through the middle. I kind of see him out in wide position. He always seems to be deeper than like McBurnie or McGoldrick or Oliver Burt. You know, that's never what me and Jake in particular, we watch all the preseason games, we watch the youth games for Liverpool as well. And we've watched Ryan Brewster for years, how many years? Two, years, 3 years, Jake?
Yeah.
Where does he score most of his goals?
Up front. He's a classic. He's a fox in the box, do you know what I mean? He is. He's really good. You get him in the penalty area and he'll score. And he...
Score goals.
They're not utilising him to the best of his abilities. You know, they're putting him out wide or they're dropping him deep, and it's like, do you even watch this player? You bought him for all that money. Did you watch him?
I mean, he went down to... I think he was on loan at Swansea last year, wasn't he? And when he scored goals there. And
Played brilliant.
Like you say, I mean, why wouldn't you sort of play him through the middle? I think in that team, they've got the ability to be able to find him as well. I mean, they've got some good footballing players in that squad. Like, you know, Fleck in the midfield, for example, and can play decent passes and pick him out. So I don't know why they're not going for that. It's a strange one at the minute, isn't it? But I can't see
This might be the most pivotal game in Sheffield United's season so far, right? This is the game that they've got to look at and think 3 points. Yeah. It has to be. They're not going to get an easier game this season, right? I understand Brighton do look okay and they're not too far off the pace. And I'm impressed with quite a lot of their players, especially young Tyreek Lamptey, who I think
phenomenal. You
could go right to the very top if he continues his development. So they have that to worry about. So it's by no means going to be an easy game, but they've got to be thinking, right, it's nearly Christmas. This is the last chance for them to get a win or 3 points before Christmas. They have to do it. Otherwise, you know, I think it's just going to be too little too late, no matter how much they turn it around. They need to turn it around spectacularly after this if they lose this game. Spectacular. It'd have to be, I mean, everybody loves bringing players in January. January sales, they very rarely work. Yeah. I say the January signings tend, everybody knows it's like, it's you get a wanted five for that player.
It's inflated as well, isn't it? The price you pay for people in January is a joke.
Yeah, and the wages are normally inflated as well. I mean, these clubs are so desperate to stay in the Premier League because they want 100 million every year. And they're desperate to stay at that calibre. And they offer stupid wages to 33, 34-year-old players in the desperation because they were once great and just hope, God, just keep me up. I remember Fulham getting Ryan Babel in and I thought, fuck it.
Hey, he scored a couple of goals for them, didn't he?
Well, they didn't fucking stay up, so...
to be fair to Fulham at that point, I think he was in and around the national side at that time, to be fair. I don't think that was an awful signing, but I understand your point though. I think, as you say, Sheffield United at the minute it's a must win for them. For them to turn it around, they're going to have to go on a really good run of form, and at the minute you can't see that happening. So
they're going to have to start scoring goals as well, which they're not doing that either. Well, apart from the United game. But they lost, so it don't matter.
They need to be committing players, like, if it's like 5 minutes to go, they need to be committing players like it's a cup final. Like, it's literally like
every
it's a
game
cup
for them
final.
Now is a cup final. It's got to be. It's got to be treated that way.
It really is.
It's got to be treated that way.
Yeah. And I get the impression that Chris Wilder isn't trying to put too much pressure on the players in terms of, I think in a dressing room, he'd be like, oh, just play your football, blah, 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 blah. It will come, lads, it will come. But I think you should probably really be saying, right, if we don't start playing, we're going fucking down. And it won't matter, and everyone else will be taking half. Everyone else is going to get your pay cut in half. The likelihood that you'll ever reach this level again.
A lot of them probably won't. You know what I mean?
Look around the dressing room.
I would tell them, look at each other, right? But four of you in this room will make it back to the Premier League. The rest of you will never have that chance again. And then see if they start playing. If not, they're down it. Quite a few tasty games this weekend. Next we go to Spurs Leicester. Leicester took a bit of a hammer in Fairmont after beating Brighton fairly convincingly. I think Spurs are going to have that inevitable bounce game after losing to Liverpool.
Tottenham.
Yeah,
for me.
I can't really call this one.
I think Tottenham have just got enough. If they play the way they did the most of the second half against Liverpool, I think that'll do them. They'll get over the line. Do you know what I mean? But you can never discount Leicester. And you can never discount Jamie Vardy. He loves scoring goals against the big six, doesn't he? So he's always got a chance against and for Leicester. And Leicester are a good side anyway. It could be one of those freak games where it's 0-0, but then it could be 4-3. It's a hard one to call, isn't it? This one.
they could go either way, like you say, Jake. To be honest, I think Tottenham have got enough quality to be able to win the game, definitely. And their star players are, top level star players. I think where they would lose it would be, potentially in the midfield or in defence if they do make any mistakes. But I can't look past them for this one. I think Leicester going away to Tottenham as well is not going to be easy. Now, as you say, they'll get the bounce off the defeat they've had in midweek. But you can't write Leicester off. But I personally would back Spurs here because they have more quality in the side, and at the minute they can at this point mount a genuine title challenge as well. So they're going to be looking at games like this as must win games, and I think Mourinho will get that out of the players as well and get that sort of mentality out of them. I think, like you say, it could easily be a 4-3 or it could be a 0-0. It's got potential for goals in there with, Son, Kane and Vardy on the pitch. Hopefully it'll be a good watch. It's all we can hope for, really, as a neutral, isn't it?
It is, mate. That's exactly.
I find it difficult to call this one, lads, to be honest. I feel like both have the quality in the squad to go and get the 3 points here. I think you've got Jamie Vardy, you've always got a chance, obviously. Yeah. With Maddison on the pitch, you've always got that option that a set piece could turn the game your way. But I edge towards Spurs. I think they've showed a good mentality this season in terms of when the result hasn't gone their way. They've reacted well and not really put the head down or whatever, because they have been unfortunate with some of the results, specifically in the early season. I think we'll see a result. I think we'll see a bounce for both, and maybe, hopefully, as the neutrals, like you say, we'll see a competitive match. I would take for this to be a 0-0, because it could be quite a tasty game if things go according.
It's got the potential for it. Yeah, it'd be a shame to see both teams sort of sit back and, play for a draw, because, as you say, they've got the talent in the squad to go at each other and have a good game. I don't know. As I say, for me, I think Tottenham will win it, but you never know.
Right, over to Man United Leeds, a game that I'm very much looking forward to. I'm going to call it right away, right? And I don't know if you'll agree with me, right? I'm going to say Leeds are going to fucking paste.
Do you reckon?
Man United.
Do you reckon they'll be pasting at Old Trafford?
Yeah. I don't think they have the mentality to deal with the energy and Bielsa's side. I think Bielsa's players are going to be super fired up for this. Bielsa fucking savors these matches. Remember them against Liverpool, remember them against City, remember those matches, right? And just that for me spells that when they're up for a game and they come in with that energy, they can beat pretty much fucking anyone. And for as a squad, they sort of relish these games. I'll look like an absolute fucking idiot on Monday if Man United come in. And that's why it's such a big shout to say that Leeds are going to face.
That's why my face is the way it was. Wow, that's a statement.
It's generally what I believe. I've got to go with it. I'm not on the fence, boys. I'm not on the fence.
to be honest, I'm sort of leaning more your way, Simone, to be honest, because I think this is a much bigger game for Leeds than it is for Man United.
100%.
Like, obviously, there's a rivalry there, and Man United, I think, don't see it as much of a rivalry as Leeds do. And they'll be up for it. Bielsa will know that this game is a big game for Leeds, and he'll get the players fired up for it. And like I said, I don't know whether I'd say it's going to be a pasting. I think it'll be a competitive
match.
That's
the part I don't agree with, the pasting.
Leeds will edge it for me, I think. And, you know, I don't think necessarily there'll be one goal in it, potentially, you know, two goal difference. But I don't think United will be prepared for Leeds to come at them like they're going to, as you say. Because United's defence is their weakest point at the minute, and Leeds will definitely exploit that.
Yeah, mate, I agree. I do think Leeds have got a really, really good chance, don't get me wrong. But, you know, United are jammy, aren't they? They scrape these sorts of wins, you know, and they just keep sort of, you know, they quite grind results out. They got 15 points in the last 18 that are available. And for all this talk of, you know, United are in turmoil, that's a fucking good record. You know, that's a really good record. But I agree with you that Leeds, you know, I think Leeds might just scrape it, or it'll be a draw. I can't see it being a pasting. But, you know, strange things have happened. I'd love it to be a pasting.
Excellent. Yeah.
I'd love it to be.
Excellent point, boys. Excellent points. You're both going to look very, very foolish on Monday.
You said they're going to win.
And I'll be making you eat that. It will be a pasting. I'm having it, boys.
what you're not considering, Simo, is that United are pretty much nailed on to get a penalty at some point, which is going to, it can swing the game. So I don't, that's where I think the pasting's not going to come into it, because that could, depending on when it comes in the game, you know, at what point it could be, it either kickstarts United's comeback or something like that, or it gives them the, you know, the equaliser, and then the game fizzles out. It could go either way, can't it? But I think you can pretty much guarantee they're going to get some sort of look. Like Jake said, they're a bit jammy, aren't they? So
what are you saying then? What are you saying?
Okay, like 4-1. 4-1.
4-1.
4-1 Leeds.
4-1.
Robin Hattrick.
4-1 Leeds.
If it's not 4-1, you have to do a forfeit on that. You back this quite highly.
No, that's thinking odds.
You back this highly. You were adamant that this is going to happen.
Right, no, right.
Look,
right,
at your backtracking.
I won't predict the score, but I will say, right, Leeds will beat Man United convincingly, and if they don't, I will do a forfeit.
What's a convincing though? Is 1-0 convincing if it's they dominate the possession, or? Because there'll be you'll find loopholes.
If I think it's convincing, it's convincing, mate.
I'm not having that.
Right, boys, to a slightly less interesting match. Although
it's not. This is big Sam
here. Well, in fact, it is actually. It's got a bit about this match.
It's the return of the
Big
Sam.
Yeah. You know, here I am. 4-4-2. Enter.
Oh yeah, Christ.
West Brom, Aston Villa. The slightly less interesting Birmingham derby. I'm going to say probably
0-0.
1-0 for West Brom. What, West Brom?
From a set piece.
Big Sam with a header.
From a set piece. Yeah. Header, probably.
No, Big Sam actually enters the pitch.
He registers himself.
Yeah. He hands the referee's contract. It says player manager. He's in the box.
I think his contract would just say Big Sam. That's all you need. I think with this game, I'm going to say it's going to finish as a draw. I think on paper, you'd probably say Villa are the stronger side, because when you've got a player like Jack Grealish in there, he's going to cause West Brom problems. But I think the Big Sam influence and the new manager bounce for West Brom will keep them in it and earn them a credible draw, I think. I don't think it's going to be a spectacular game, but it'll be, you know, it's one of those average Premier League games that is easily forgotten. But I think the big Salmon himself and the way he just sort of sets the team up and obviously gets the players playing as well, it's going to come into play, definitely. I don't think Villa will win.
A good stat here. Sam Allardyce has only once lost his first Premier League game in charge of a team. So that was with Sunderland. He's won five and he's drew one. So, you know, it's a good omen for West Brom. You know, he's pretty solid in that regard. His first game tends to be the bounce, like we've mentioned, since he's been appointed. So...
Everything about Big Sam's record, I've written about Big Sam's record, leans in the direction that West Brom are going to going to benefit from having him there. And like we were talking about yesterday, it seems harsh to begin with, the sacking of Bilic and the appointment of Big Sam. But if you think about it, if you really critically think about it, there's $100 million on the line, and you don't gamble with that. You don't gamble with that. If things aren't looking your way, you know, one win and sort of like, what was it?
One win all season.
One win and like, one win all season. So yeah, I can understand why they did it.
Absolutely. If you weigh it up and you think, are you more likely to survive with Bilic in charge or Big Sam in charge? And you'd say Big Sam every time. So I think if looking at it that way, it's a good move for West Brom. But yeah, obviously time will tell. I think Bilic is probably right to feel hard done by. But at the same time, yeah, Big Sam coming in, he has an effect on teams. He's proven to make a difference when teams bring him in. So you can understand why they've done it.
That's it, mate. He's got a track record, hasn't he? He's got form. This is his thing, isn't it? Keeping teams in the league. I feel like he'd almost want a project as well. Do you know what I mean? I think he's a bit sick of coming into a club and going the season after he's kept them up and you know, stabilised them a bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd like to see what he can do over a longer period of time rather than just season and a half already now.
Yeah, you never know.
I think that would have been part of the negotiation process that he would have probably mentioned that I'm not here just to be a firefighter manager. And they're probably like, yeah, you're not. But as soon as he leaves the room, the board all turn to each other like, yeah, we're safe, fuck yeah.
As soon as you can sort of see as well that if they did keep him on, as soon as they lose a few games on the bounce, next season, for example,
he's under gone. Fire, yeah.
And so thanks for the memory, Sam.
Cheers for the 100 mil.
Enter Sam Allardyce, he gets hired in his place.
I'd love to see. I'll tell you what, I'd love to see Big Sam to go abroad somewhere. Like say for example, he went to Spain or something, and he's, you know, he's on the beach, he's got his shorts on, like on the sidelines, sunglasses. Oh. Just a proper shirt
sangria
in the dugout. Yeah. I'd
love to see him like
he'd have
a top level
there.
Job as well.
Real Madrid.
Like a top level job as well. Like, yeah, Real or Barca.
Yeah. The thing about Big Sam is he gets players to like run through brick walls for him, doesn't he? No, I think that's part of his success in keeping teams up. Like, there must be something about it. Or maybe he bribes them or something.
I can't remember which show. I can't remember which show as I was listening to it, but like he was managing a side. They were doing their pre-season friendlies abroad and whatever, and they just played a match, and then he was like, right, everybody to a man, like in a lounge at like fucking 7 o'clock, we're going out in the piss. So they go out in the piss and he lets the boys drink whatever they want, and then he fucking pays the bar tab and he goes home early because he's the boss and he doesn't want fucking, obviously. It's nothing worse when your boss is hanging about when you're trying to go in the piss. You know what I mean? And he goes and he pays the boys tabs and fucking, do you know what I mean? And then he's, you know, it's work hard, play hard. Think it in your own sense, like me and Jake are in the military, but you've got a boss, it's like, you've got to work hard, but as soon as it's fucking downtime, it's like, yeah, go do what you want. And we go,
he sort of commands respect by doing that as well, don't he? Because if you do something like that and you get the respect of the players instantly, because they know that, you know, if things start going well, he's got that sort of thing in the locker again.
You're gonna get rewarded,
like,
aren't you?
Yeah, it's definitely. I think that's a big part of Big Sam and like himself, and what is the Big Sam brand, I guess you could call it.
Burnley Wolves on the Monday evening. I think, gonna go straight in and say a hard fought draw.
Solid point for Burnley again, yeah.
Wolves, I think Wolves will just have too much quality because they have some really, really tasty players at the minute. I mean, in particular, I know some of the limelight's kind of changed away from Adama Traore because everybody's used to what he does. He's not stopped doing the things that he did last season. It's just one of the things you get used to, these players doing the things they do well. It kind of, you know, the shine kind of fades. So enter fucking Pedro Neto and Daniel Podence, who have just stepped up their game. I've said yesterday, the Wolves don't look like they're missing Diego Jota. and, you know, players have stepped up. I think the young centre-forward, the 18-year-old Fabio Silva, has all the makings of a good forward. I think he's really, really close to it coming good. But I think Burnley will be so organised and committed that their determination, their organisation will get them over the line for a point.
High special, won't it?
If they're lucky.
High special.
If they stay focused.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to sit in because they know the talent that Wolves have got going forward. I mean, as you say about Traore, he's not necessarily standing out as much because people are used to seeing what he does. But he's still very effective. And even though you'd say they're probably going to miss Jimenez being out injured and then the goal threat that he adds, you still back them to cause problems. And they're not missing Jota as much as people would think they would. Podence, I think, is a really good player. And Neto as well, the elements that they add to the team definitely make them dangerous. So I think, it's probably going to be something like a 1-1. And that would be a respectable point for both sides as well.
I think this Wolves side, if he keeps hold of them all, it's got real potential to go quite far. If he keeps this team for a few more years, when they start to reach their peaks, that team can you know, quite easily challenge, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think one of the best players in the team, I think, is Ruben Neves. I really rate him. I think his range of passing is quality, and he does that job in midfield really well. I think they, as a team, they're set up really well. They seem to have a really good sort of chemistry, which is clearly working for them. Obviously, got them into Europe a couple of years ago. And while they're not at that level at the moment, like you said, the potential is definitely there.
Yeah, a bit of squad depth added to that, I really do. Seeing, like you say, Jake, if he stays there, they buy into the project and they keep backing them because they have backed him and he's delivered. I think in a couple of years, they could maybe go out and do something special, maybe get ourselves a Champions League spot. I think Wolves will consider that maybe a peak point and think of the away days. I mean, it's good having away days in Europa, but like Champions League away days, bouncing, you got that Borussia Dortmund game coming.
Yeah, I mean, you've got on one side, you've got like Ludo Goretz, and on the other side, you've got potentially like going to the San Siro. Yeah. And stuff like that.
That's it, mate.
Exactly. I'm going to finish up with Chelsea West Ham. I'm going to go on and say that Chelsea lose because they can't beat teams above 10.
Do you know what? When I saw this one as well, I instantly thought West Ham would win. I don't know why. I just thought I fancied it. I fancied the style hurting Chelsea and Moisey outdoing Lampard. I had a feeling that it'd happen.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm going to sit on the fence and say it's going to be a draw. But I think West Ham will probably be the better team on the day. At the minute, they are playing really well. They've got some dangerous players. I think Jared Bowen's a really really threatening player going forward. And if Chelsea are having an off day, at the back, which they do often have, then they'll cause problems. But then on the flip side of that, Chelsea's attack can be really dangerous as well, especially if they've got Giroud on the field. All they need to do is obviously pump a few crosses into him and he's dangerous. And even West Ham, while they're playing well, I don't think they'd be able to sort of deal with that. So I reckon it's that sort of game. It's going to be a draw, but a good performance from West Ham. They'll be unlucky not to win it.
Yeah, good points, boys. Good points. I think I've got to agree with probably... I think I'm going to actually go the opposite way. I'd probably say Chelsea went on quality, just because I feel like they're maybe German. And Moyes's.
Yeah.
The results speak better than the performances of West Ham. And I've been saying that for a couple of weeks now, that their results kind of paint them in a different light from what they actually are. And although they do have absolutely superb players, I really, really do highly rate Jared Bowen. I thought Sebastian Haller's overhead kick midweek was fucking superb.
Incredible,
wasn't it?
I mean, I could be. It was absolutely. I mean,
to be fair,
he's only
about 6 yards out.
Used to see,
great goal.
Yeah, he's such a big lad, isn't he? It's like we used to see Crouchy do like fucking overhead kicks. You'd be like, fucking hell, how's he done that? And not killed anybody.
I think that's something that if you're a defender and you've got somebody with those long limbs going up like that, you don't want to put your head in there.
Crouchy was brilliant at that, though, wasn't he? He was absolutely brilliant at those overhead kicks.
Scored loads.
Yeah. He was so good at them.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Carroll did a good one for West Ham a few years ago. Even though he was unmarked, but he's a big man getting up there and scoring. Still that kind of goal. Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah,
I seen him do one in pre-season this year, actually. Can't remember what game it was, but it was just like, seen it somewhere. It was maybe like online. It was like, most Andy Carroll goal ever. And it's like, fucking, you know what I mean? Ancient Andy Carroll doing an overhead kick. I was
in
like, pre-season.
Yes. Like, a bit,
like a bit of that, yeah. Warms the old heart, you know what I mean? See Andy Carroll pulling off some overhead kicks. But that is going to do us for today's trips. Thanks very much for joining us, if you're still here. thanks very much to Jed for coming on.
It's been an absolute pleasure, lads. Thank you for having me back. And yeah, I hope to come on again soon.
Definitely,
at some point,
mate,
as well.
Definitely.
We'll have you back on Monday, I think, if you're happy with that, so we can discuss all the results. You can tell me how wrong I was about all that.
Of course. Yeah, I'm definitely up for that, lads. No problem.
Yeah. Jake, thanks very much for joining me as well.
It was a pleasure to talk to you.
And for everybody that's interested in learning a wee bit more about Total Screamers, we're actually developing our website, www.totalscreamers.com. Go there and have a wee look around. We should be having more stuff up there soon. But for now, cheerie bye. We shall see you Monday.
Network. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.